Hello and welcome back to, oops, smacked that on the table, Harp Song for a Radical, The Life and Times of Eugene Victor Debs by Marguerite Young. Oh, welcome to All My Darlings, that's the podcast name. Alright, a little bit longer chapter, page 111, chapter 33. Frederick Rapp, Father Rapp's adopted son, had said to Frances Wright when she visited the Rappi Harmony in the toe of the Indian boot, not far from the Wabash flowing from into the Ohio, that if he could not eventually effect the emancipation of the Rappites from what amounted to a wageless white slavery, he would make his own escape from this community of married celibates. He was himself a very thoughtful, very philosophical bachelor, and joined with wealthy Scottish orphan in the Utopian Project, which she had started in 1827 on the plantation Shoba on the banks of the Fox River in Tennessee, for the purpose of raising up and educating black slaves to the level of the whites and thus preparing them for what might be called the hardships of freedom. So Angel in the Forest was written, and so you get everything. Well, not everything, but it's good to know that she's circling back around in that history and time and place in it. So if you've read Angel in the Forest, you already have a pretty good foundation for what's going on here. Jeremy Bentham's ward, the friend of Shelley, the friend of Lafayette, Frances Wright, who was a link between Rappites and Owenites, as she was a friend not only of Frederick Rapp, but of Robert Owen's son, Robert Dale Owen. As she was a visitor at both communities, with their differing views of human happiness as expressed in social terms, had wished, with her two-chambered heart, to unite their characteristic features in her version of a Greek city-state. Frances Wright would be recalled by Robert Dale Owen as looking herself like an Antinous or Minerva, with her raggedly chestnut curls flying in the wind and her icicle-cold blue eyes, which were not blue as violets, and her sharp features stained almost black by the burning light of the sun, the sweep of wind and rain and snow as she rode on horseback through the wilderness, trying to get other intellectuals to join with her at Neshoba, the refugees from which she would be forced to take flight in less than 3 years for the West Indies for the establishment of another commune for the freeing of the black slaves from the white, over whom she had ruled as if she were an empress, before whom they wafted their purple plumes like fans with which to shoo away the sandflies from her ever-twitching face where the waves of the sea swept in and the waves of the sea swept out. Coming back to the temporarily depleted divine economy through the western Appalachian Mountains upon an April day of soughing wind and rain and lightning flashes, turning his horse's head through a dark forest, Father Rapp's adopted son Frederick had been killed by the falling of a rotted oak tree, which then loosed itself from its moorings just at the moment when he was passing with his broad-rimmed hat drawn down low over his brow and shadowing his sunken eyes and his broad-shouldered cape drawn tight around it. Or else he had been murdered, and the tree placed as a deception over his body as if to suggest that he had been pinned down and could not move. It was some weeks before he was found, and then his face was but a broken skull, and only part of his body was found. The hat was his, and the gold watch, and the riderless horse, which would have been left behind by no ordinary thief in this dark forest of life, but the foxes had eaten his limbs away. Who had murdered the great pantheist? Was a nefarious deed committed by the hand of God or God's emissary, here in this lonely way where apparently no eyewitness had seen this murder but the eyewitness who was himself the murderer? And if so, he would not be so twisted and tormented by his conscience that he would tell who the murderer was, and thus would disprove the truth of the old saying that there is always someone watching, or that there is no such thing as a perfect crime, or that murder will out. Perhaps all had been an accident, such as may happen in the nature of things. The hypothesis of murder had prevailed, however, once suspicion had gotten on the wind, and would be elaborated into a tale told in taverns in America and in Germany. And not unfounded, since Father Rapp had circumcised his legitimate son, and that son died in the process. Not circumcised, castrated, because he had gotten a woman pregnant. He was against the celibacy that Father Rapp was promoting. But it's more likely a tree fell on him. I remember one time we had they called it an inland hurricane.